Today on Real Radio.
Where's Jesus? And you know what they're going to say? In my heart. Now, some theological nincompoop will say, not true. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he's at. Well, that's true too. But don't you dare tell that little kid he's not in their heart, because that is theologically exactly correct.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Part 1 begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul now takes a break from instruction about holy living to teach on prophetic doctrines of the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is a coming event that Paul shares in every chapter of his letter. His desire was to bring hope to the church that death was not the final act. Today, Pastor Jack continues to take us through the Bible with specific examples of God sparing his people from judgment. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these things saith he who has the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven lampstands. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come into him and I will dine, eat, have supper with him and he with me. That's a message to the church. I know we use that evangelistically, but that is a message to a dead church. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is on the doorstep knocking at one church? He's going up and down in between the other one. And didn't Jesus himself say, lo, or behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? He said that to the church. Jesus, didn't he say that wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of you? That's the church. Didn't Jesus himself say that he, when he was leaving, he told his disciples, I must go away from you. I have to leave and go to heaven. But if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And if he comes, he will abide in you. He'll be with you. Then his next verse, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. Well, Jesus, what are you saying? Is the Holy Spirit coming to me or are you coming to me? Both. Jesus comes to us and lives in our hearts today by the person of the Holy Spirit. Go over here across the way. You can ask 650 little kiddos, where's Jesus? And you know what they're going to say? In my heart. Now, some theological nincompoop will say, not true. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he's at. Well, that's true too. But don't you dare tell that little kid he's not in their heart, because that is theologically exactly correct. Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts by the person of the Holy Spirit. My point is, people, wherever the church is, Jesus is there. You with me? He's made that very clear to us. So watch this. This is fun. In the earlier chapters of Revelation, he's talking to the church because he's with the church. But in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, John, who's a member of the church, is taken up into heaven and he sees everything from that point on in heaven where he's at and down to the earth. He makes observation. You say, well, so big deal. What is a big deal? It's a very big deal. If John is a type, maybe he's not, but if John is a type of the church, then he's in heaven. Well, that's pushing it. Okay, so it is. Watch this. Where's Jesus Christ? From Revelation 4:1 on. He's in heaven. He is in heaven. Well, this gets better. When does the church show up again? Revelation chapter 19. We got a problem if I'm a post-tribulationist, because I got the church in heaven coming out of heaven on white horses with Jesus Christ coming back to the end of the tribulation period. That's when the church shows up next, is in heaven on white horses. In fact, this is a really neat thing. It's rather comical, if you ask me. But why don't you jot this down, and then we'll get to this kind of a comical scene. You know this verse well. You've heard it many times in these last few weeks. This pre-tribulation rapture view is the only view, by the way, which is literal, and it is the only view that allows for the fulfillment of John 14, verses 1 through 3. No other view addresses John 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. We went through this last week. Where is that? It's in heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, heaven, there you may be also. You see, the post-tribulation rapture view has got Jesus coming out of heaven, rapturing us. We comb our hair. We somehow get on some horses on the way down. So it's kind of a mess. He's coming out of heaven. We get caught up. We meet him. The dead arise. We're all there. We get composure. And then we land immediately and execute the establishment of the kingdom at the end of the tribulation period, putting an end to the Battle of Armageddon. Listen, we got a problem with that. You have to cut John 14, 1 through 3 right out of your Bible. Because Jesus says, I'm in heaven. I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you. I'm in heaven. And when I come again, I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. How do you know that? Book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 19 to 21. Almost 3,000-year-old prophecy. By the way, I hear somebody told me that there's some TV program on or coming on about prophecies last night. I didn't see it, but chances are, who was it? CBS, NBC, ABC, Channel 4, NBC? It was probably totally cultic. It was probably through a little bit of the Bible and a lot of, maybe I'm going to guess, Nostradamus, some of those quackaroos in there. Just enough to get you kind of wiggy. And to lower, by the way, the standard of the Bible, to put it among all these other false prophets. But anyway, if I'm wrong, let me see the tape. Those things never do God or the Bible justice. I forgot what in the world I was talking about. I'm just checking to see if you wrote it down. Isaiah 26, 19 to 21, very, very important scripture. And the scripture says there, by the way, your dead shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Remember that verse? Have you heard that verse? Awaken, sing, you who dwell in the dust. And it goes on to say, come, my people, enter into the chambers and hide thyself but for a moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The inhabitants of the earth will be punished for their sins, not us. Come, my people, into your chambers and shut the doors. That's a wedding chamber. Ooh, that gets fun. Almost 3,000 years ago today. The location of Jesus Christ, Revelation 19. Why don't you turn there real quick? And after this bit of fun with this verse, we'll have to fly. And you're going to have to write down the verses quickly. And we're coming up, by the way, and the fifth point coming up soon is something that is going to really need your discipline to follow along with. But boy, is it important. Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11. Get a load of this. By the way, this is the opening scene for the second coming. John says, I saw in heaven and opened, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written which no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies, you ought to underline that, the armies in heaven. Well, who are these guys? Angels, maybe? Maybe not. The armies in heaven clothed in fine linen. Jot that down. This is exciting. Fine linen. Can you imagine having an army dressed in bridal attire? Talk about a decoy. Fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. See, what's the point? We'll look at Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. Jesus, his bride, is the Lamb, is the bride of the Lamb, or the bride of Christ, or the church. She has made herself ready. Verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of who? The saints. No one else in the Bible wears fine linen in the scriptures except one person. The bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. Not robes. Not robes. Fine linen. And she's quite a gal, by the way. She's on fine linen, riding a horse. She's in an army. Hate to tangle with this girl. She knows her stuff. She's riding with Jesus on this horse coming out of heaven down to the earth. By the way, if you read all the scripture completely, put it all together, she's going to rule and reign with him with rods of iron. She'll sit with him. She is called in scripture the church. Here's a fun part. She's Gentile. Jesus marries a Gentile bride. The father is already married, the Bible says. Who's the father married to? Israel, the Bible says. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that neat? That's what the scripture declares. But watch this. Number 5. You ever read the book of Revelation and wonder who the 24 elders are? I don't have a clue. But anyway, well, no. We can only guess. That's true. We can only guess. But boy, you can get books and people will tell you exactly who they are. And it cracks me up because most of the books I have, the guys are absolutely wrong. And you know how I know that? By just reading a little bit more of the Bible. One guy tries to tell us that they're angels. That's impossible. We're going to see the reason why. Another guy says it's Israel. That's impossible too. We'll see the reason why. I don't understand this stuff. One guy says it's obvious. It's 12 leaders of the tribes of Israel and 12 leaders from the church, the apostles. It's 12 and 12. The guy says it's obvious. When you look at 24, you see two 12s. Do you? When you look at 24, it looks like 24 to me. So you get you in your Bible and start reading around and you start checking out 24. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, if you read it carefully, it announces there that there is the priesthood established and they exercise their office in 24 courses so that there is a priesthood established continually for service. The Bible says concerning the church that we are a kingdom of kings and priests. And it does use the word elders. Watch this. Hang on. Write them down. Revelation 4, 4. Please respond to this when I ask you. It's kind of fun. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. People, where are they right now? The answer is heaven. Where are they? Good. Follow along. You won't be able to turn there in time. I'll tell you when to turn there for a great reason. Write them quickly. Revelation 4:10. I'm going to ask you, where are these guys? The 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast down their crowns. Where are they? They're in heaven. Revelation 5:6. I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and in the four and, look, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, the seraphims, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. We know that's Jesus. Where are the seraphim? Where are the elders? In the midst of the elders is a lamb as though it had been slain. Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? We were saying earlier that wherever you find Jesus, you'll find the church. That's his honey. You'll find him there. Watch this. Revelation 5:8. Just jot it down. We'll come back to it in a moment. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. having a harp, and he goes on to say, where is this taking place? It's taking place in heaven. Revelation 7 now, verse 11. Now, here's how we know it's not an angel. The 24 are not angels. It says in Revelation 7, verse 11, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders. You can be a first grade English student and figure that one out. And by the way, the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne of God and worshiped him. Where is this? It's heaven. Revelation 7, 13. This is powerful. Wow, is this powerful. Right here. Revelation 7, 13. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where do they come from? Now, if you're a post-tribulationist, you're getting a little nervous right now. Because we've been taught that the 24 is a representation of the church. I agree to that. But they have to go through the Great Tribulation period. Thus, we get the name post-tribulationists. You with me? Where have the elders been all this time? Heaven. One of the elders says, who are these guys arrayed in white robes and where do they come from? If you keep reading the book of Revelation 7, chapter 7, it will say, these are they who have come out of great tribulation and they've given their lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And later on, they will say, they who died for Jesus out of the tribulation period will say, under the altar, it says, their voice comes out and says, Lord, when will you bring our brethren up here that they can join us too? And the Lord responds and says, they have to come the same way you did. They will give their lives for the testimony of Christ. They'll join you later. I'm paraphrasing. They must die as you have died for the witness of Christ. Oh, okay. The elder, who's supposed to be part of this persecuted group, didn't even recognize who they were. And he didn't even know where they were coming from. People, I hope that didn't miss you. That is a major, serious point in differentiating the post from the mid-tribulation rapture view. The one who was supposed to be of the church going through the tribulation period didn't even recognize where he was coming from and why his buddies were even there. In other words, the post-tribulation view is not correct. But don't hang your hat on that one. It gets worse if you're a post-tribulationist. And like I said, I'm telling you, this study brought me around to be thinking right many years ago. And I need you to stay with me here. Jot all these verses down. Revelation 11, 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell down and worshiped God. They're in heaven. Revelation 14, verse 3. Revelation 14, 3 says, they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. The location again is heaven. Revelation 19, 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on his throne. And they said, amen. And I got to tell you, the location obviously is in heaven. But it's a beautiful thing to me when God begins to work upon our hearts and things begin to cook and begin to happen. And you start to see what this is teaching us. That we too at the end can say amen. I love old man Ken. You don't know him. He comes for a service, 94 years old. Sits right there where you're sitting. And old man Ken, when something touches his heart, he'll go, amen! And then John, usually to the left of me, will always, when something touches his heart, he'll say, amen! And in Revelation, the blessing of what we just read, they say, amen. Because it is good news. And you want to hear some good news? I hope dispels any doubt about you going through the tribulation or not. If you want to go through the trib, that's your business. But we're not going through the trib. Jack, you sound like you want to escape it. Well, who are these 24? Well, we know who they're not. We know that they're not angels. We've seen that over and over again. But you can check that later in Revelation 5:11. They're not angels. They're not living creatures, the seraphim. You can check that in Revelation 5:8. They're not them. They're not a great multitude of believers coming out of the tribulation. Revelation 7, verses 9, 11, and 13. They're not Gentile believers coming out of the tribulation period. We know that for a fact. They are definitely not the 144,000. Well, how do you know that? Because the 144,000, first of all, are you ready? Well, with all due respect, there's people knocking at your door who say that there's 144,000, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that they're the 144,000. I mean this with all seriousness, and I use this at my doorstep. I'd like to talk to one of the 144,000, please. Seriously, I want to talk to one. We're talking about heaven and hell here. We're talking about life and death situations. I want to talk to one. Okay, well, we'll have one come by. Somehow they have these guys recorded in Brooklyn somewhere because there's more than 144,000 in their ranks. And the precious Jehovah Witnesses that come to your door, they're not expecting to live like the 144,000 are to live. It's a very sad story. But you ask, if you happen to knock, if it knocks on the door and you say, are you one of the 144? And let's say the guy says, yes, I am. Wow. Let me see. According to Revelation 7 and chapter 14 as well, I'd like to know what tribe you're from. Because you should be able to tell me right now. There's 12,000 from each tribe. So which tribe are you from? My next question to you is, can you speak a little Hebrew for me? Because you have to speak Hebrew to be one of the 144,000. Next question. Are you a virgin? Because it says you have to be a virgin. Revelation 7 and 14. Well, you failed all these questions. Let me ask you one more. Let me ask you just one more. Are you a man? Because they have to be males. 144,000 men who speak Hebrew, who are virgins in the tribulation period.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Thanks so much for listening today, and please be encouraged. The pain and sorrows of this world are only temporary when you give your life over to the Lord. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you haven't visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org, it really is quite a resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything that is connected to Real Radio. You can access previously aired Real Radio programs. You can get real life videos, real life devotions, which you hear us mention from time to time. You'll get our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you know, if Real Radio is a part of your day and you're learning and growing as a result, why wouldn't you let Pastor Jack know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click Contact Us, and the rest really is quite easy. Or if you'd like to send Pastor Jack a letter, that's real easy. Send it to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found, including our phone number, right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.